So, how many of you think you're a selfish person? We have some honest people here. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would bless this time and help me to speak your word. And I pray that you would give everybody grace to listen to what I have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to endeavor to talk a little bit about how we can think more of others. A lot of times our selfishness is completely self-conscious or subconscious. We don't even realize that we are walking over the top of everybody else and not doing it on purpose. We just have not trained our minds to think of others like we should. And you know, you wake up in the morning and you think, what am I going to do today to please myself? What am I going to do to make my day happy? You know, what can I do to have fun? And it's all about me. And in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, all over in the Bible, and I only wrote a few verses down, it tells us to think of others, not ourselves. So, we should, I mean, obviously you have to take care of yourself and your own needs, but in another way, if you will put your thoughts and your minds to thinking of others, God will take care of you. He will supply your needs, or even have someone else do it. I know a lot of you are young, so you're still at home. So how often do you help your mother with things? Instead of waiting for her to tell you to do the dishes or to do the laundry or take out the garbage, do you offer to do those things? Are you see that they need to be done, or don't even tell her that you're doing it? Just get up and do the jobs. When I was little, I was very, very lazy, and I hated work, and it was such a chore to do anything. And I still remember one of my worst jobs, I think, was going out into the woods and picking up killing to start fires in the morning. And it was just like, oh, I have to stop playing and go out in the woods and gather up firewood. And it was, or you have to do the dishes or vacuum the floor. And everything was just, who wants to work when you can play? But now that I'm 37 years old, I can tell you young people that take the time now when you're young to learn how to work and to learn how to help others. Even if you think it's, you know, you can like to work. If you put your mind, if you transfer your mind into saying this is something I'm going to do for somebody else, whether it's your mother or your sister or a friend, you can actually make a game out of it and enjoy work. And it's not just that you can have fun in it. It is your responsibility. You live in the same house with whoever you live in the house with. You ought to share the workload. Whether it's sweeping the floor or doing the dishes or cleaning up your mess, or I know some young girls, maybe boys too, probably they're worse at it, will just say, oh, mom always does that. And so whether you make a mess for breakfast and you're like, oh, well, mom will do the dishes, I don't have to worry about it, and you run off to play, and or mom always sweeps the floor, she always takes out the garbage, and you never even stop to think, well, why can't I do that? You know, it's something I can put myself into instead of running off to the computer or Facebook or whatever you guys do for the day that makes your life fun. And you'll actually find, I think, you'll actually find it a lot more enjoyable when you are throwing your whole time and self into working for others instead of yourself. Because you might have fun for an hour or two, whatever you want, whatever you think is fun. But if you actually put yourself into working for others, you're going to have a joy that you can't experience when you do something for yourself. In Matthew 10:39, it says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And there's maybe many different ways that you can say what this verse means, but I'm just going to apply it to what I'm talking about right now. As you can spend your whole life trying to find happiness for yourself, or trying to find trying to make your little life down here more pleasant and more happy, and the older you grow, you're going to stop and think, wait, what is my life? Where has it gone? What am I doing? And it will feel like you have lost it completely because you haven't done anything with it but try to make yourself happy. And I can even say that I've experienced a little bit of that. It's like, where has my life gone? What have I done with it? Why have I tried so hard to serve myself or to make my dreams come true or whatever it is that I'm striving with? And you also wake up and realize your life is half over and you haven't really accomplished anything. And Jesus does say it's more blessed to give than to receive, and I don't have a reference for that, but if you are always trying to get something, if you're always trying to you're always trying to get something for yourself, you're always trying to have, give, you know, make your life easier, make your life happier, you will not be joyful, you will not be happy, because those things do not make you happy. And I have found by personal experience that it's much more pleasant to give something than to receive something. Especially people who are in need. I mean, not just giving a birthday present or anniversary present or anything like that, but try to find ways to surprise people. Or if you hear that somebody says, hey, I wish I had one of these, but you know they don't have the money to go buy one, then go buy them something. And or if there's a mother with four children, she can't keep up with the housework, go volunteer to help her for the day. Or there's many different ways that we can help people out, and you feel so much better at the end of your day than if you had spent the day doing something for yourself. It gives much more joy and happiness. And in Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." I often think of that because I work at a grocery store and have a lot of dealings with customers, and sometimes you can't believe the things that they actually do. I'm thinking after they leave, I think about this verse often, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And I'm like, you put up such a fuss for 10 cents or for 50 cents because you got charged more than you were supposed to or more than you wanted to be charged. And, you know, wouldn't you have rather just paid the 50 cents and left with a good name than fussed and complained about the fact that you were charged 50 cents extra for this bag of carrots than you were last time? And, like, what kind of a reputation are you leaving people when you have dealings with people at the grocery store or wherever you go, at church even, or at home? What kind of a reputation are you leaving people, like, when you leave that place? Or what do people think of you? Sometimes you probably would not want to know. I just spent 3 months in Kentucky working at a Galilean children's home. It's not exactly a children's home anymore because of the couple that started it. The wife has died of cancer and the husband is 73 years old, so there's not really any kids there anymore, but they have what they call the Angel House, where they house babies whose mothers are incarcerated, and which means in prison. And then they have the Handicapped House, where they have a lot of the children that they did adopt or that they took care of. They got in as children, but they're now in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, some of them. And so I spent 3 months down there. It's all volunteer service. You don't get paid for anything unless, well, if you stay a little bit longer, sometimes they will pay you. But I can't explain the joy that I felt knowing that you're helping these people. And it was impossible for these people to help you back. Like, some of the handicapped adults are just like babies. They have no mind. They can't talk. They can't respond in any way. It's just like, I mean, some of them will look at you and you think, what are they thinking? Because, like, there was one guy there who was 40 years old, and he would just stare at your, stare into your eyes, but he never said a word. He never gave any indication that he was even comprehending anything that was going on. But he would look right into your face. And Luke 14, 12 through 14 says, Jesus is speaking, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, which means relatives, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And God says, take care of the people who can't take care of themselves, and you're going to be rewarded. But it is a reward just to know that these people cannot give you anything back. I had also had the privilege of taking care of my elderly neighbor for a while, and she was, we had known her for, well, almost ever since we moved in the property, like 12 years ago. We started to get to know her a little bit here and there, and then as she got older and older and couldn't take care of herself, and she eventually fell and had to be in the nursing home and for recovery, and then couldn't drive anymore, and so we, more and more and more responsibility was put on us to take care of her. And it was a pleasure, but sometimes I'd get frustrated. But still, even her, because she had money, so she could recompense you in a way. It was like, you do this for me, I'll give you money. And sometimes I would refuse it. But when I went down to Kentucky and realized these people cannot do a thing to give you anything back. And it was, I never thought I would even able to work with the handicapped people, because I did not enjoy that kind of, I was always afraid of them, and I was like scared of them when I would see them in stores and stuff. But it was such a joy to know that you were actually being there for them and they could not do anything back for you. And God does say he's going to recompense you. And there are a lot of people in the world today that don't just need, they don't just need physical attention or necessary things for life. They need emotional and spiritual help. And if you're always focusing on what you need and what you want and the burdens on your heart and the things that you need, you will completely forget about everyone else in the world. It's like you are so focused on yourself that you do not even see that other people have needs. And I was kind of, I mean, I was a lot like that when I was younger. Not too young, but I was like, I would almost get angry. It's like people are not giving me the attention I want. They're not helping me in any way. You know, you'd be so depressed and so discouraged. Like, if somebody could just write you a note or give you a card or anything. And it was almost like a source of anger. But I had to come to the place where I realized that as long as I live on this earth, there is nobody on earth, no man, no woman, nobody that you can fully trust that will never fail you and that's never going to let you down sometime. And that you have to get your joy and your happiness from God. And all of a sudden, everything looked different. It was like all of a sudden you weren't there to get something. You were there to give. And if you look at yourself like that, if you find your healing and your happiness, your courage from God alone, I mean, not that you can't have friends or anything, and please do, but don't rely on them. Don't necessarily trust them because they're going to fail you. And it was very disappointing when I realized that. I was probably 30 years old, and I realized that men will always fail you. There's never going to be a time or a person that you're going to be able to trust fully that's never going to let you down. And it was very disappointing. But you can trust God, and He will never fail you. Even though you feel like He does, there is a reason behind what He does, even though you don't know it. So get your source of happiness, your source of joy from God alone, and you will suddenly look at everybody else and say, what can I do to help them? How can I help this person? You know, this person is sad. This person is depressed. This girl is crying. Something needs, you know, and you can tell if you have your eyes open. Sometimes you can just look at somebody for a few minutes and see whether what kind of a day they're having, or even realize that they've been through a lot in their life and they're trying to hide it. And take note of that and say, I'm going to be an encouragement to that person, whether it's even smiling at them or saying, hi, how is your day going, or anything you can do. I mean, write them a card, send them a package. If you're too lazy to do all that, just text them. Let people know that you are thinking about them. And make a difference in someone's life. Instead of trying to have everyone else make a difference in your life, like you walk through life and say, I'm here. What can you guys do for me? Instead, turn your mind around and say, what can I do for you? And I didn't necessarily find a verse about it, but I know that God will take care of you and that He will supply your needs when you are looking out for others. And one example is Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And God says right here, if you take care of the poor, I'm going to pay you back what you gave. If you give money to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord. When you lend something to somebody, they give it back to you. And I believe it's also the same whether you're giving money or you're giving encouragement or you're giving other things. God is not going to let you down. If you're giving out of your own heart, He's going to take care of you and bless you for it. And if maybe not even in this life, but He will in the next life. And also, when you're looking out for others and when you are pouring your life into other people, you're going to forget about a lot of your own troubles. Your little troubles that you think are so great when you dwell on them. It's like, if you just forget about those, like maybe you have a headache and you're like, well, I can't go visit this person because I don't feel good. If you decided, yes, I'm going to go visit this person, I don't care if I have a headache, you're probably going to forget that you even had a headache and find yourself enjoying the company of your friend. Philippians 2:4 says, look not on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. Obviously, God is not saying don't take care of yourself at all, but He says also, every man, look on everybody else's things. Find ways that you can help others, find ways that you can encourage others. And I'm just going to give a few examples here. And these are small points, but if you don't start on the small things, you're never going to go to the bigger things. When you're walking down an aisle and someone else is walking down the aisle and you meet, you quickly rush through before you can, you have to make the other person stop, or do you stop and let the other person go first? If you're sitting in a car or in your house and you decide you want the window open, do you make sure everybody else wants the window open, or do you just quickly open it because that's what you want? If you're making supper, do you make what you want, or do you happen to ask your siblings, what would you like for supper? And these are just little things that pop up every day in your life, but if you don't start with little things, like I said, you're never going to grow to bigger things, and you're never going to get beyond the little points in life. Because we don't have our family or friends forever. There will come a day when you leave home, or when they leave home, or you move away, your friends move away. Sometimes people die. It wasn't a close friend, I can't say, but it was a friend, and she died suddenly of a heart attack when she was 37. And it really shook me up. I was like, so many times I had been babysitting for her, and I was like, so many times when I had complained, or not necessarily to her, but in my heart, complained about having to do things for her or going out there to help her or whatever it was. It was like, and all of a sudden, she's gone forever, and I knew that I would never be able to see her again or say another word to her. And I was like, all of a sudden, everything came back on you. Why weren't you more loving? Why weren't you more kind? Why didn't you take the time when you had it to show her that you loved her? And all these things flooded you, but it was too late. And I'm not wishing anything bad on anyone, but just think about that. The next time you want to yell at your sister, or the next time you get angry at your brother, remember that they're not going to be around forever, and that you have the opportunity right now, today, to be nice to them and to show them that you love them and to have them remember you as a nice sister. You know, what if everybody thinks of you as the naughty sister? That's your fault, not nobody else's. You can change that. Another thing I thought about quite a bit is when someone asks you to do something, like maybe it's your mom or your sister or even a friend or your dad or brother or anybody, and maybe they ask you to bring something or to do something and then you forget. And it's like, oh, I just have a bad memory and I can't ever remember to do anything. But stop yourself and ask, why did you just forget? Why did you just forget to do something for your sister? Was it because you really didn't care? Was it because you were too busy with your own things that you heard her say it, but it just slipped your mind really fast because you were thinking of your own stuff? We have to, as human beings, we have to train our mind. Because we were born in sin. We were born selfish. Even as a young child who can't even talk yet, you can see that they're very selfish and they don't like to share things. And as they're playing with others and someone takes something away from them, they'll smack them over the head or whatever it is. And they're too little to even know what sin is. So we were born selfish. So you have to train your mind to think backwards. Like, I want this, but I'm going to do this because someone else wants it. It's not like you're subconsciously, or it's not like you're purposely thinking, I'm going to do everything possible I can for myself. But you have to train your mind little by little as you continue to go through life to think of others and put yourself down, put others up. The Bible does say, esteem others better than yourself, and I didn't write the reference down, so I don't know what verse it is, but sometimes that's very, very hard because we so focus on everybody else's sins. We're like, well, I'm not like that. I mean, I would never do things like that. And it's so hard to put others above you because you think of yourself as up above. But if you can think, my sister does this, I would never do that, but what are the things that you do that she would never do? And so train your mind to put yourself down and others up. And I know it's maybe the hardest thing you would have to do. It's not easy. But here are a couple stories about people who were selfish. There was a dog one time with a bone. And he was going to eat the bone. But he saw another dog with a bone also. And he's like, well, if I could get that bone also, I could have two. And so he was going to set his bone down and fight the other dog for his bone. But the only problem was the other dog was his reflection in the water. And he dropped his bone and lost both of them. There's also another story of, I don't remember the story and I didn't have time to find it, but I'm just going to tell it how I remember it. Of a guy walking through, I think, his neighbor's field or somebody's field, and he saw what he thought was gold. He was like, gold out here? And I think he took a shovel and digged, and he saw more and more and more of it. And he was like, so excited, he couldn't believe it. He's like, I'm going to go ask if I can buy this land. And of course, he didn't tell the owner that he had found the gold. And so he went to buy this land, and of course, whoever it was, the neighbor or whatever, didn't really care because I think it was just a field. He's like, sure, you can go ahead and buy it. And so I'm not sure if the man might have had to sell some of his things to find the money or something, but anyway, he goes and buys this field, and dishonestly, because obviously if the guy had knew there was gold there, he wouldn't have sold it. And so he gets the field, and he goes and digs up all this gold and takes it in to get his money, and they said, this is fool's gold. It's not worth anything. And so he lost all of that money just because he was selfish. There was one other woman that I read about, and this is a true story. She was on her way home from something, and she had quite a long drive, and she stopped to get coffee to keep her awake through the night. And she heard a man talking in the coffee shop about, I think his wife was in labor, and he said he didn't have any way to get back home. And she's like, where do you live? And he told her in such a place. And she's like, well, I live close to that, and I'm driving there right now. She said, jump in my car, and I'll take you. He's like, all right. And he said, she had to go a little bit farther past her house to get to his town, because it was maybe 20 minutes or half an hour out of the way. And he's like, well, you don't have to drive me all the way there. Just drop me off in your town, and I'll find a ride the rest of the way. And so he jumped in her back seat and went to sleep. And she drove all the way to her place, and she realized that he was sleeping. And she's like, I'm taking him all the way home. And she took him all the way home and woke him up and let him out. And she's like, it's too far to go back to my house. Maybe it was a couple hours out of the way, I don't remember. So I'm just going to go to my sister's house, spend the night, and then I'll drive home in the morning. So she got to her sister's place, and I think she lived in a trailer court, knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked on the door, and she wouldn't answer. She's like, I know she's in there. I don't know why she's not answering the door. She kept knocking and knocking and knocking. I think she woke the neighbors up, and they're like, what's going on? And like, my sister won't answer the door. The doors are locked. She said, I know she's in here. And so I think the neighbors helped her take screens or something off the window. And they went in the house and found out that She was being poisoned by carbon monoxide. And they got there just in time to save her. Now, if she had not done that unselfish deed to take her, that man home, her sister would have died. Now, obviously, God is not going to do some great thing for you every time you do an unselfish act, but just some things to think about when you are going through life and decide, am I going to please myself or others? And obviously, you're not always going to be rewarded immediately, but it's the way of life that God asks us to live. And just remember this. If you're all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. Do you want to be a large package or a small package?